The following sports presentation is a production of Blazers Broadcasting. Welcome to Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Here in Portland, call toll-free 503-963-4595. Elsewhere, call 1-877-475-4595. Email courtside@trailblazers.com or text message us courtside@66937.
All right, welcome on in. It's Trailblazers Courtside. It's a Tuesday evening. I know the set looks a little different than it does normally. I mean, the basic environment is the same, but Mike Barrett's not here. Mike Rice isn't here. They're both at a sponsor event tonight. I'm Brian Wheeler. I am here. And sometimes it takes four people to replace Rice and Barrett. In this case, one really solid analyst can do it. And I'm speaking, of course, of Michael Holton, star of Stage and Screen, who is with us. And, Coach, happy to have you on board. And a lot to talk about over the next couple of hours. And fortunately, we have a lot of good things to talk about as the Blazers come home and enjoy a day off after a lengthy road trip and a lengthy and productive road trip.
It was a very good road trip, Wills, and you were there, so you were able to feel the ebb and flow of it, leaving arenas, arriving at new arenas. When you go 4-1 and you play the way the Trailblazers play, you know, overtime was the only loss in Chicago, so really a chance to go 5-0 on a road trip, and that is unbelievable. But it wasn't just the winning, it was the way the Trailblazers were playing in terms of energy and up-tempo. I love the fact that they were running and Andre Miller was dishing in the open court and the points in the paint were coming in transition. Exciting.
As somebody who appreciates good guard play, how about 39 assists and 6 turnovers in the 5-game road trip for Andre Miller? That would probably lead most assist-to-turnover categories over a course of a season.
Oh, yeah. You go 39 and 6, that's huge. But I like to highlight yesterday of his obstacle course play where he came down,
yes,
crossed over, jumped over a leg, looked somebody off, and then went left hand off the window. Andre Miller really putting his full game on display.
Boy, he certainly did. And obviously a great road trip for him and a terrific last couple of games for somebody. And I guess we need to talk about this tonight. Potential budding star in Nicholas Batum. I mean, I think some people said, all right, he could step forward and have a big night maybe one time out as he did at Minnesota. But he follows it up with a tremendous game last night and was a huge part of that 41-point third quarter. He and Brandon were essentially leading the scoring in that period.
Yeah, you look at Nicholas Batum and you start to get this feeling, and it's a real quiet and subtle swagger, that his best basketball is still in front of him, and there's something about this NBA that he's figured out, and he's now at peace with his game, and it's really a joy to watch.
I remember talking to him the early part of last season and doing an interview for the Blazers program that they hand out as you walk into the Rose Garden for any particular home game, and we were rotating different player features, and so Nicholas, being one of the new guys, I had a chance to talk to him, and he had already been at that point in time labeled as a defensive, you know, stopper, a guy that would be a standout at the defensive end of the floor, and he made a special point of telling me, now just so you know, I have some ability offensively too, and I didn't hear many of the coaches talking about it, I didn't hear many of the scouts talking about it, but I think even at that time he knew that he was capable of providing some things at the offensive end of the floor. Last year, he wasn't really asked to, and in fact, when the occasional three-point opportunity arose, you know, he took it and was a contributor in that sense, but in the offseason, he said he had done some great work with the national team in France and that we would see a different Nicholas Batum, and I thought, based on the preseason, he was ready for a breakout year. Then he has the shoulder surgery, is on the sidelines for a good part of the season. But now that he's able to play and we're getting to the bulk of the games that mean something, he really is showing that a lot of the things that he promised early on, he's starting to deliver.
Well, he always knew what he was capable of, Wilson. And as a pro, you do what you have to do before you do what you want to do. And I think being a defensive stopper, if that worked and that got him in the NBA, or if he got him on a roster, if he got him in the game, so be it. But now that he's in the game and he's playing with a level of confidence, he's starting to do the things that he wants to do, which is to stretch out and show you the range of his game in terms of offense and contributing, going to the hole, in the half court, catching lobs, knocking down threes. He really has a complete package.
Well, he certainly does, and we'll talk a lot about Nicholas Batum over the course of the next couple of hours and the great 4-1 road trip for the Blazers. But coming up next, a guy that certainly was at the center of all of it too, Trailblazers head coach Nate McMillan will join us for for the Coach's Corner. We also have visits scheduled in the next couple of hours with Frank Hughes of SI.com, also with Scott Howard Cooper of NBA.com, and we'll talk officiating with retired NBA official Terry Durham, and lots of chances for your phone calls, texts, and emails as well. It's Wheels and Coach Holden. It's Trailblazers Courtside on a Tuesday night. Nate McMillan joins us when we come back. We are simulcast, as always, on Trailblazers.com, Comcast SportsNet, and the Blazers Radio Network.
Now, it's time for the Coach's Call with Trailblazer head coach Nate McMillan.
Right, always a fun time when we get to visit with Trailblazers head coach Nate McMillan, and I'm sure fun for him to talk about the great road trip that was, as the Blazers have just one day off to recuperate and get ready for action once again back at the Rose Garden tomorrow as they'll play host to Indiana. Brian Wheeler, Michael Houghton joined by Coach Nate now. And, Coach, you get home as late as we did last night, and I know there was no practice today, but knowing you, I'm sure you still put in some work today. What was a quote-unquote day off for you after a road trip like that, getting ready for another game at home tomorrow?
Well, you know, we needed to, everybody needs to run some errands and do some things. We've been gone for a long time. But thinking about tomorrow's game and getting ready for shoot around tomorrow morning, our guys definitely needed to take the day off. Getting in last night, about 2 o'clock, and I'm sure most of them didn't get to bed until later than that. So just getting ready for tomorrow's shoot around.
Besides the four wins, what was the most satisfying thing for you coming out of the road trip?
It was nice to see Nicholas shoot the ball as well as he did. You know, we knew that he was playing good basketball, but to see him shoot the basketball with the confidence that, you know, he shot the ball with these last few games and to knock down the three, it's going to be very important that he hit that shot. He, you know, first of all, he take that shot and knock it down. That will open up the floor at the defense and, you know, keep that defense playing a little bit more honest on Brandon and LaMarcus. But, you know, we know that he's a very good defender and he's very capable of being a good perimeter shooter. And to see the ball go in the basket for him, you know, that really, you know, helps this team, you know, stretch here.
Coach, there was a lot of offensive efficiency played by your team on this road trip in the half court. A lot of cutting, a lot of spacing, a lot of clicking on all cylinders. And you guys scored 103 against Memphis, and there were a lot of possessions that were up-tempo. Is there a preferred tempo for your team at this time of season?
Well, we want to run, you know, regardless of what people say. We want to run, you know, but we want to play smart, you know. We want to take advantage of the opportunity if it's there, and if it's not, then we want to set up. We've been a pretty good executing team over the years, and, you know, setting screens and using screens is something that we talk about all the time. You know, at this time of the season, execution is about, you know, being connected on both ends of the floor, you know, defensively with ball pressure and, you know, your weak side covering for any types of breakdown. On the offensive end of the floor, you know, being married to screens and using screens and making hard cuts and knowing what you are looking for. You know, we talk about our three C's, you know, being calm, clear, and consistent in what we do. And, you know, that's the execution that we're looking for. So we're getting better ball movement. I think it will take some time with, you know, the new guys being in the lineup, you know, Nick, you know, being in that starting lineup, adding Marcus Camby to the lineup, and Brandon, who has been out, who was out for about 5 weeks. So it'll take some time for those guys to get their chemistry.
You know, Coach, is there a correlation between being connected on the defensive end and playing hard and well together and covering for one another and loading to the ball and taking care of the ball on the offensive end? Because your team has done a great job as of late in not turning the ball over, whether it's up-tempo or not. Is there a relationship between playing well together defensively and valuing the basketball?
No question. That wins games. And, you know, you got to have that ball in order to be able to put it in the basket. And, you know, we talk about taking care of the ball. You know, that's one of the keys to the game every single night. is to take care of the ball and win the free throw line and win the rebounding game. And I feel if you win those three areas, you give yourself a chance to win the game. And, you know, I think we've been doing a better job because our point guards have been handling the ball. Miller has been handling the ball. Brandon has been handling the ball. And those guys make good decisions with the ball. And, you know, we've been able to get possession and been pretty efficient on the offensive end of the floor of scoring. But there's no doubt being connected on the defensive end of the floor is just as important. I mean, it's important both ways, on the offensive end of the floor as well as the defensive end of the floor, and not assuming that, you know, certain guys are going to do certain things. And I thought when we first got Camby, we kind of relaxed and assumed he was going to get all the rebounds. And, you know, we started to have guys leak out a little bit. And being connected means that you don't assume anything. You have each other's back. You know where each other's supposed to be. And if there are breakdowns, you are there to cover for your teammate.
Coach, I'm glancing over the schedule, the results pretty fast, so I could be making an error on this, but I don't think I am. Not only the five games on the road, every game over 100 points, and that's not something that you've always had this season. Do you see that with Nicholas now coming back and giving you an extra dimension, and with Andre getting more acclimated to things, Brandon kind of returning to better health, is this probably as good as you felt about your team offensively moving forward now for the stretch run?
Yeah, well, I still feel as we're working on it, and, you know, working on that rhythm with, you know, the starting unit as well as the guys coming off the bench. You know, Howard has been the starting center for us the last 2-3 months, and, you know, since Joel and Greg has gone down, now he's coming off the bench and having to make that adjustment with, you know, who he is playing with out on the floor. You know, now Rudy and Martell and Bayless, you know, those guys who have been in the starting lineup now are coming off the bench and trying to get a rhythm and a system set for that group. So even though we have been scoring, I think we can be better. We're going to figure it out, you know, as we go here. But they've done some good things, and I think the main thing is, you know, they're taking care of the ball, we're rebounding the ball, and we're advancing the basketball and getting some easy baskets. And we were able to do that on this last road trip.
You know, Coach, advancing the ball, getting easy shots, working for the best shot. You know, the team is doing better and better in those areas. I see guys driving the ball, driving closeouts, kicking, really working in half court to get the best shot. I want you to speak to that fine balance between working for the best shot and not passing up open shots, because sometimes I see Martell and there's an open look and I saw him trying to maybe make another play. How delicate is that line between working for the best shot and not passing up open shots?
Well, he's been screamed on for that, and, you know, because he can shoot the ball, and sometimes I think we do hesitate and they get caught up in thinking as opposed to, you know, reacting to the situation that is out there. You must understand time, score, and situation. So a shot that may be an open look in that first, second, maybe third quarter is a shot you may take, whereas in the fourth quarter, depending on the game, depending on the situation, you may want to, you know, use some clock or use some time. So part of that is just maturing and going through the league and understanding time, score, and situation. But we, you know, our guys have the green light to shoot the ball when they're open, and we don't want them to be out there being hesitant and thinking about, you know, whether they should shoot it or not. When you do that, you normally miss that shot. So don't hesitate. If you're open, you shoot the ball, and you know, we'll live with that. And Martell, I thought when he was in that lineup, he was certainly doing that. But I've seen our guys at times, you know, being a little hesitant and passing up some shots that, you know, they should be taking.
Coach, we go back to the Minnesota game, and not only did Nicholas have the career-high night in points, but set career highs in other areas too. And he was really filling up the stat sheet, had 7 rebounds, 7 assists as well. And I know that the thought had been that if he had been healthy this season, that maybe by this point in the year, you'd be using him a little bit at point forward to kind of initiate the offense. Is that where you think his abilities lie in terms of what his potential is long-term, that he can be a lot more than just a spot-up shooter that is able to hit some three-pointers, that he can have that versatility that you can really give defenses a lot of different looks with maybe him initiating the offense at times?
I think he'll be very capable of running, you know, running your offense and playing out front and, you know, maybe turning out your one and your twos and allowing him to possibly, you know, run some pick and roll sets. He handles the ball okay. He makes good decisions with the ball. He doesn't turn it over. At times, you know, he gets a little, he's a little unsure about what he wants to do. And, you know, he now is playing with a lot of confidence. You know, last year he pretty much was just, spotting up and shooting the ball. And, you know, we heard all the great things that he was doing this summer. And we're starting to see that where, you know, he's starting to put the ball on the floor. He's starting to come off screens and shoot the ball. And he's always been a guy that, moves well without the basketball. So I think, you know, it's his window, I mean, his glass is really half full. He has a lot of talent, a lot of potential. He's starting to get more and more confidence. Normally when you see guys who start the season, which, you know, Nick has basically just started the season in the last 2 months, they normally come out and, it takes them a while to get a rhythm and start. Their shooting percentages are normally a little low. This guy is shooting the basketball great, and his ball is going up, straight up. You know, he's got a lot of lift in his shot, and he's been working on it. And, those things were clean the other night. They didn't touch any rim. So it was good to see that. We're going to need to continue to see that. But there's a lot of potential there, Nick.
Coach, thanks so much for the visit. We'll let you enjoy a little bit more of an off day. I know you're going to get a lot of these coming up, but right back to work tomorrow against Indiana. I know you'll be scouting them against the Lakers in a little while, and we'll catch you at the Rose Garden tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Nate McMillan, Trailblazers head coach, joining us here on the Coach's Corner with some rave reviews about the play of Nicholas Batum and also about the potential of Nicholas Batum. We'll talk about that as well as we continue on. By the way, if you'd like to join us via the phone, 503-963-4595, 877-475-4595. You can email us courtside at trailblazers.com or text us. Just text the word courtside to 66937. We'll continue on with hour number one. It's Wheels and Coach Holden. Frank Hughes of SI.com will be with us in just a little bit. We'll hope you'll stick around. It's Trailblazers Courtside simulcast on Comcast Sportsnet, Trailblazers.com, and the Blazers Radio Network.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Thanks to Trailblazers head coach Nate McMillan for visiting with us on the Coach's Corner. Frank Hughes from SI.com will be with us in just a little bit. Veteran NBA writer, now living in the Bay Area. He covered the Sonics for a lot of years in Seattle. And I was thinking about this, Coach, as we were playing the Grizzlies yesterday. I mean, the last two franchise moves in the NBA have been to the detriment, I think the detriment of the league to begin with, but I think certainly the detriment of the Trailblazers. Travel from the Pacific Northwest is a little tricky as it is, but to lose the Grizzlies from Vancouver to Memphis and to lose the Sonics from Seattle to Oklahoma City, those are two bad trades, certainly in terms of, I think, the cities aren't as nice, and certainly the distance from Portland to those cities definitely is not as nice.
Oh, I agree. You got to get a few more frequent flyer miles to follow this team.
That's for sure. And I know in Memphis they hope that that franchise is going to continue to get better. We were in Minnesota. They're going to lose $25 million this year, but they think they have some draft choices coming up. The main owner, Glenn Taylor, has talked about the fact that a lot of his minority owners want to sell, but he says, I'm sticking with the program. I'm not moving the team. So a lot of these teams that are suffering, when we were in New Jersey, same thing. They feel that they're going to be in a position with some money and some flexibility in the offseason that they can improve. But, you know, I know this much. If you have a good team, if you have a good city, it's a lot easier to attract people to your franchise, and there will be some free agents out there to be had, we know, in the offseason, and some money from some teams available to offer to those free agents. But just because you have money doesn't necessarily mean you'll get those guys. You probably have to have something else that's attractive to, you know, to lure them to your team.
Well, you have to be a desired destination. I mean, free agents have a choice, you know, and Wills, you're out and you see the other arenas and you see the climate and you see the energy in the building or lack thereof, and then you come here and it's sold out, that's got to be attractive.
Yeah, and anytime we travel, and a lot of times when we go especially out east, we see a lot of empty arenas, and so it's always great to come home to another sellout crowd, as will be the case tomorrow when the Blazers play host to Indiana. We have 9 home games remaining. That's it in the regular season, 10 on the road, as the Blazers really are in the home stretch now, battling for a playoff spot, 8th spot now, hoping maybe to move up before all is said and done. We will move on to visit with Frank Hughes of SI.com. He'll join us as we take this short time out. We'll come back and talk to Frank, maybe a little bit about his days covering the Sonics in Seattle. Now he's in the Bay Area. We'll get his thoughts on the NBA and who he thinks might be representing the various conferences as we head to the playoffs. It's Trailblazers.com, simulcast on Comcast Sportsnet, Trailblazers.com, and the Blazers Radio Network.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, we continue on. It's Wheels and Coach Holton. It's Trailblazers Courtside on a Tuesday night. Night off for the Blazers as they get ready to resume action tomorrow. One of the many things I've always said I wanted to change about the NBA. If you have a road trip of 5 games or more, you should have at least 2 days off coming back home before you play that first home game. Now, the only thing that evens it out a little bit, the Pacers will be in action tonight in L.A. against the Lakers, so at least they're on the second night of a back-to-back. That's the only thing that semi-evens it out, because believe me, tomorrow night will feel like another road game for the Blazers. We'll talk about that as we continue. But right now, let's welcome in one of our favorite NBA people, and he has been denied the opportunity to show his prowess as a terrific writer because the Sonics left Seattle, and he was a longtime writer in the Seattle area. Now he is relocated to the Bay Area and is writing once again for the NBA for SI.com. It's Frank Hughes. Frank, how are you?
I'm doing well, Wheels. How's it going?
It's going great, Frank. So you decided basically if they were going to take the NBA away from you, that you would go somewhere where there still is the NBA in the Bay Area.
Wheels, I decided to make my wife happy.
Always a smart thing to do.
You're a smart man.
She's from the Bay Area, so we picked up and moved.
Good for you. Good for you. Well,
which we may have done whether the Sonics were there or not, to be honest. So it was more lifestyle than it was NBA.
Well, we were just talking about the fact that the last 2 relocation moves in the NBA were certainly bad ones for anybody in the Northwest, and the one team left standing, the Blazers, the fact that Vancouver went to Memphis and Seattle went to Oklahoma City, the cities aren't as good, and the travel certainly is far more difficult. So the Blazers kind of on an island out here in the Pacific Northwest with no close teams around them anymore, which makes travel all the more difficult, which makes having 4-1 road trips very, very impressive. But tell us your thoughts. First of all, do you miss basketball in Seattle? I mean, it was there for 40 years. I know you weren't there for all 40 years, but talk about a team with great tradition, and it's almost to me a little scary that a team that had the following that the Sonics did, that something could still happen to take that team away from Seattle.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I don't miss basketball because I get to watch, you know, games a bunch of nights a week here, watching the Golden State Warriors, and some may argue whether that's watching NBA basketball or not. Having said that, you know what I feel? I feel really badly for the people of Seattle, and I feel badly for the former Sonics players and everybody who had a history with an organization that has sort of vaporized. And, you know, I threw this in as a little sort of side snide remark in my column yesterday on SI.com, but, you know, everybody's going to these throwback uniforms 5 or 7 nights out of the year, and I just kind of posed the question, what throwback uniforms are the Oklahoma City Thunder going to use if they decide to do that? I mean, you know, there was so much ill will between the city and the ownership of the Thunder organization
that I just think Clay Bennett and his whole crew, and, you know, this happened even before the lawsuit, but, you know, it just, there was so much contempt and so much anger and so much, I don't even know the word, but that it seems like the Thunder have forgotten all about the organization that once was the Seattle Supersonics, and it just doesn't exist anymore. And when I wrote a story on Spencer Haywood over All-Star Weekend, I mentioned that, you know, his number is retired. It's supposed to be hanging from the rafters in Key Arena, and instead it's getting dusty in a box inside the Museum of History and Industry right next to the University of Washington. And, in fact, Spencer can't even go and look at his own jersey without getting Clay Bennett's permission to go look at it. So it's just, I just feel badly for everybody that was involved with the Sonics organization and the Sonics franchise for the 40 years, and the fans who became used to watching that organization, because it was just, it really was just stolen from them through no fault of their own.
Well, you know, there were a lot of good years in Seattle and a lot of good teams and a lot of good players. I know when I was in the league and we would go up there and play, and you played against, you know, Dennis Johnson and Gus Williams. I mean, those were some really good teams and players. You know, Frank, do you think there will ever be, and I know ever is a long time and a big word, another team in Seattle?
Well, you know, I posed the question to somebody pretty high up in the NBA, and because my whole premise was, okay, you have the Maloof. I mean, there are any number of teams suffering through fiscal hardship right now, but the Maloof are the prime case of somebody that could move, because they're in a dilapidated arena. And let's face it, I mean, Arco Arena is way worse than Key Arena when it comes to just everything, you know, driving finances, being able to see a game, where it's located out in the middle of a cornfield as opposed to downtown. And so, and the Maloofs are, I don't know if you saw this item the other day, but, you know, they had to renegotiate some of their loans on the Palms in Las Vegas. They're selling their beer distributorship in New Mexico. So clearly they're suffering through some financial stuff, because most of what they own is based on discretionary incomes of America, and there is no discretionary income in America right now. And so, and in the state of California, you're not going to be able to build a new arena, at least not publicly financed, and so they're kind of stuck. And my whole premise to this NBA official was, if the Maloofs just wanted to pick up and somehow move the entire franchise from Sacramento to Seattle in an arena that's sort of sitting there, could they do it? And he said, well, they'd have to get the arena redone. And I said, why? Why couldn't you just move a team from one arena to the next arena? And his response was, there's not enough money-generating things existing in the current footprint of Key Arena to offset the $30 million relocation fee that the Maloofs would have to pay to go from Sacramento to Seattle. And sort of my thought was, well, why don't you just waive the relocation fee? I mean, that would make the most sense for everybody, because it would strengthen the league. But you know, the 29 other owners aren't going to try and give up $1 million free from somebody who wants to relocate. And so, you know, that's that issue. But I just, unless the state legislature and the state of Washington ever passes a law that allows public financing to be a part of Key Arena, I just don't see it happening. And with the economy the way it is, and with the way things happened there when the Sonics departed, it's too difficult of a thing right now. And, you know, in the next 5-10 years, I just don't see it happening.
Frank Hughes of SI.com is with us here on Trailblazers Courtside. And, Frank, you had referenced the fact that I think everybody seems to be kind of bracing for an NBA lockout probably a year from now, and it seems like all the signs are there. The players seem to be, and maybe they shouldn't have been, surprised by the initial overtures from the owners in terms of a new collective bargaining agreement. Sounds like the owners want a lot of changes, and changes that certainly would be to the detriment of the way the players have enjoyed doing business these last few years. Are we really going to be in for a long, protracted, you know, drawn-out situation trying to get a new collective bargaining agreement, or is a lot of what we're hearing right now just rhetoric that maybe might settle down once the two sides get serious about things?
No, unfortunately, I don't think it's rhetoric. I mean, I wish it was, and I wish we're not going to see the loss or absence of games in 18 months from now. But I'm afraid that we're going to, because what the ownership negotiating committee proposed was so far-reaching that it virtually overhauled the entire financial model as we currently know it. And like you say, the players have become accustomed to getting 57% of basketball-related income, and you know they like getting these $12 million a year salaries, $15 million, $18 million a year salaries, whether they're warranted or not. And so I think you're going to see the players dig their heels in. But, you know, I always say it's a lot easier to get unity out of 30 people than it is out of 450. And I think, you know, ultimately you're going to see the players crack and splinter because there's 450 of them, and a bunch of them are going to, you know, despite their large salaries, you know, they're probably going to start feeling the hit once, you know, you're halfway through the season or whatever it is. And, you know, there's only a finite number of years you can earn that kind of money in the NBA, and I think players are going to start to realize, I don't want to give up one of those years to do that. So I think you're probably going to see the players ultimately cave to the owner's demands. How many of those demands remains to be seen, but, you know, I wish somebody would just say, you know what, we're going to cave eventually. Let's just forego that and come to some sort of agreement. But, you know, Wheels, that never happens. You have to see some sort of deadline, and you have to see some sort of bloodshed before any agreement comes through. And unfortunately, I think we're probably going to see some games missed, much like we did in 99 when it was, I don't know about you, Wheels, but I was bored off my ass for those 30 games when there was nothing to do.
And then we crammed 50 games into about 2 months. So that wasn't as much fun either.
Yeah, you were just talking about travel. How about the three games and three nights back-to-back-to-backers? That was no fun, and that was not – unfortunately, I was living on the East Coast then. I can't even imagine what that was like on the West Coast with the travel involved there.
Frank, thanks so much for the visit. Great talking with you once again. I know we're going to be in the Bay Area in another week or so to see the Blazers and Warriors. You going to be at that game?
Would I miss you, Wheels?
Well, then we will look forward to seeing you.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Frank Hughes, good man and a good writer as well for SI.com. Nice to see him writing about the NBA again. And, yeah, that seems to be everybody's feeling, that we are headed for the possibility of another prolonged negotiation, trying to get another collective bargaining agreement. But, you know, when one side thinks they want to change things dramatically, that's usually the way things happen,
well,
unfortunately.
It's a big pie, but everybody wants the biggest slice.
That's right. That's right. Why can't everybody just share? Just share. Just get along. At Trailblazers Courtside, we get along here, presented by Pacific Power. By the way, those who are watching visually, it wasn't a figment of your imagination what you saw. We'll tell you about that for those folks on radio who didn't have the chance to experience it. We'll tell you what the folks on TV saw during that last segment when we were talking to Frank. As we continue, you can join us on the phones, 503-963-4595, 877-475-4595. It's Wheels and Michael Holton. It's Trailblazers Courtside, simulcast over Comcast Sportsnet, Trailblazers.com, and the Blazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, is brought to you by Branding, your brand management partner. Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you by Pacific Power and Energy Trust of Oregon. Energy efficiency tips and incentives at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. Season ticket holders, this is a big month for you, and a big date is coming up, March 16th. That is the date that you have the opportunity to renew your seats for next year, but by doing it by March 16th, you'll be able to secure your playoff tickets for this year. And as a bonus, you can get a talking LaMarcus Aldridge bobblehead by renewing online at renew.trailblazers.com. Do you have yet, Coach Holton, your talking LaMarcus Aldridge bobblehead?
I do not. I have not seen a talking bobblehead, so I look forward to that.
And I need to find out what the bobblehead says, because I imagine it is something that's already pre-programmed. I don't think you can ask it a question, then it gives you an answer. So there must be something, maybe just says, go Blazers, you know, boom shakalaka, Rip City. I don't know.
Probably
I'm going to be curious to find out.
Probably says, get buckets or jump shot.
Get buckets, jump shot, rebound, you know, whatever the key phrases would be for somebody like L.A. But anyway, that's something for season ticket holders. Certainly focus in on that. Now, Coach Holton, we were talking about the fact that the Blazers are coming home now to play a game tomorrow against Indiana. Now, your experience as an NBA player. You were at a different point in time in terms of travel, in that it wasn't the era of the charter flights that we have now and the ability to kind of get from one place to the other a lot quicker than when you had to take commercial flights. And a lot of people that follow the NBA today don't necessarily know that that's the way life used to be, and it was a lot trickier trying to travel during those days. But did you find, because there's an old adage, a lot of old adages in basketball, but did you find that this old adage was true, that the first game back after a long road trip, especially if it happens as quickly as tomorrow's game will, that it just feels like another road game?
I didn't find that to be the case, Wills, for me when I played, unless that game was the next day. If you got home late and you woke up and you played the next day, you were still kind of halfway unpacked and scrambled or disheveled. But if you had a day to get reacclimated, as Coach McMillan said, run some errands, kind of get your feet back up under you, playing at home is playing at home. And for the Trailblazers, I think they have a distinct advantage playing in the Rose Garden, coming home to a packed house and all of the love and good feeling that is inside the Rose Garden, to me, can't possibly feel like a road game.
Now, you mentioned home games, and we know that the Blazers have had the great support, 100-plus consecutive sellouts at the Rose Garden, and yet, as much as they've won four out of their last five on the road, they've lost four out of their last five at home. This is a team that was one of the best home teams in the NBA last season, only seven losses at home last year. They've already dropped 13. I mean, that's very provincial-like when it comes to a home record, and certainly not what Nate McMillan would like to see. So as much as we want the Blazers as a group and as a whole to get ready for the playoffs, they need to, I think, start reestablishing some home dominance the rest of March and into the first part of April before we get to the playoffs.
Well, no question. And with nine home games to go, there's the opportunity to solidify home court, so to speak, in terms of playing well and playing together in the Rose Garden. But, Will, this has been a different year in terms of injuries, different lineups. I mean, Coach McMillan got hurt. I mean, you got a lot of different things that have happened to this basketball team that would pull against stability and consistency. And that's why I think when this team went on the road this last trip, I thought it was a great opportunity to bond with Marcus Camby and with Brandon getting healthy. And it seems like there was some of that took place.
You know, what was also nice to see, we had the very first practice in New Jersey as soon as the Blazers made the initial trip out east, getting ready for the first game of the road trip the next night. Practice ends, and Juwan Howard, who, as we know, has been a great leader in his first season with the Blazers, called everybody together for a players-only meeting. Now, I know that you've been on both sides of this as a player that probably took part in meetings, some probably most that the coach called. Then you've been a coach that probably called for some meetings. So you've seen it from both sides. And probably most people would say talk gets cheap after a while. But it seemed like this particular players-only meeting, and Juwan wouldn't go into specifics as to what was said, but he said it was kind of like our computer retooling, that we needed to just get together and say everybody needs to refocus. Everybody needs to now, you know, check everything that you've been doing to this point and bring a little bit more as we get to the stretch run. So it sounded like it was a meeting that was very timely, and obviously the results speak for themselves after that. So have you found in your career, both as a player and a coach, that meetings like this can be productive?
They can be productive, but teams that do it a lot are usually bad teams. You know, teams that have a lot of players-only meetings, that becomes a red flag. You know, but meetings where you get together before or after practice to tweak a thing or two and you have the proper type of internal team leadership can be healthy and productive. Again, I'm not a big fan of a lot of them, you know, where every time something seems to go too north or too south, you got to have a meeting as players away from the coaches. But when you have the type of leadership that Juwan Howard presents and you have the type of character on the roster that exists on the Portland Trailblazers roster, I think there's balance in place that a team meeting, a players-only team meeting, can be a positive thing.
We're taking emails courtside at trailblazers.com, and Ben sends an email saying the Trailblazers seem to be coming together at the right time. Makes one wonder what Portland's record would be if Nicholas Batum had not missed most of the season. And certainly if what we're seeing from Nicholas right now is an indication of what he might have been able to do if he had been available all year, yeah, I'd have to say that this is something that really makes you wonder about what the Blazers' record would be if he had been available for the entire season. But one thing we want to talk about is Martell Webster and the fact that Martell had been the starter for most of the season, but with Nicholas now stepping in as the starter, it seems like the good things for him have maybe taken away some things for Martell. So I'll let you think about that and your thoughts on how maybe to get a little bit more of the Martell we saw in January when he tied Aaron Brooks for the most three-point field goals in the NBA. How can we get some of that Martell back to come in and contribute off the Blazers bench? We'll continue. One final segment of the program is coming up, and we'll get to our branding hat and coat contest as well as we wrap up hour number one of Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. We are simulcast on trailblazers.com, Comcast Sportsnet, and the Blazers Radio Network.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Hey, Corona and the Trailblazers giving you the chance to get miles away and relax Corona style with an all-expense-paid trip to Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. All you have to do is show off some of your skills. These are always unnamed skills. I don't know what that means, but skills during a Trailblazers home game, and you could win. I don't know if that means if you have a card trick. I don't know if that means that you can whistle. I don't know what that means. It just says some of your skills, so maybe we should be a little more specific. But that's what the read says, and that's what I'm doing. Enter by April 1st at any Corona display at participating retailers or online at trailblazers.com. It's Wheels and Michael Holton finishing up hour number one of Trailblazers Courtside. Coming up in hour number two, we're going to be joined by Scott Howard Cooper of NBA.com. He had a nice article recently about the Western Conference playoff race, the Blazers helping themselves, of course, with the 4-1 road trip and the victory at Memphis last night. And then one of our favorite people, Terry Durham, a retired NBA referee. Did you ever have any problems with Terry when you were playing?
No, Terry's one of the better referees in terms of temperament and demeanor and approachability.
Yes, and I think for me, that's a key. I mean, I know that a lot of the officials are equally capable of calling a game, but approachability, that's a great word, Coach Holton, and I think that there are some that kind of have that standoffish approach and seem to feel that maybe they're a little bigger than the game or that maybe the fans have come to see them. But the ones that are approachable, I think, are the ones that are usually my favorite anyway.
Yeah, and the ones that were bigger than the game always bothered me because I wasn't big enough to approach that type of referee.
All right, as we end our first hour of the show, if you'd like a limited edition Trailblazers Courtside hat, be one of the first five emailers to our show right now. You'll win a great hat from Branding. We'll then select one of those hat winners to win a great fleece jacket from Branding. Send your email now to courtside@trailblazers.com. Remember to include your address in that email. John Curry is showing you, for those watching on television or on the website, the great Trailblazers Courtside hat that could be yours. When the Blazers need Branding merchandise, they call Branding at 503-663-2858. Branding, your Branding merchandise partner. Again, send those emails, courtside@trailblazers.com. All right, hour number two of the program is coming up, and still lots to do as Coach Holton shows off that great jump shooting form that made him a standout at UCLA and the NBA as well. Scott Howard Cooper, Terry Durham, a Horizon Air Trivia Contest, and more from you straight ahead. It's Trailblazers Courtside with Wheels and Coach Holton as we continue simulcast, trailblazers.com, and Blazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, will continue after this 5-minute news break.